I arrived at the White House at 7:30 p.m. on Election Day and found the president on the second floor in the living room with the television already going, and Joe Garagiola was there, as well as former Representative Edith Green and another friend of the president's, apparently from Grand Rapids. The president was having a drink. I ordered one, and then in about a half hour, a few other guests arrived. Incidentally, it was interesting to me that when I came into the Southwest Gate, there was no guest list, really, though they apparently knew I was coming. The gate was not prepared, as it usually is when you go to the White House, for a number of people, and I was admitted kind of specially and obviously as if I were a member of the family. And similarly, there were very few cars parked outside the entrance that you use when you use a Southwest gate. And one of the White House staff, obviously the domestic staff, took me up to, was waiting for me and took me up to the second floor where I met the president I've just described.
What did the president say?
The president was delighted to see me, said hello, and glad you came, Jack, and we don't know what'll happen, but at least we'll see what happens together, and Betty is will be out to join us soon. The president's daughter, Susan, was there when I arrived, as well as his son, Jack, who kind of went in and out, and as did Susan. Susan had a couple of golden retrievers that were kind of, you know, all over the place, and lovely dogs. And it was obviously very much a family atmosphere. And the president, as I say, said that Betty would be out very soon to join us. And we had a drink and watched very preliminary returns, mainly featured by the appreciation of the map which NBC was going to, upon which NBC was going to report the returns, with nothing lit up on the map whatever. And within about, 30 minutes, about 10 young people arrived, which was Joe Garagiola's wife and his daughters and their husbands or boyfriends. And not too long thereafter, Tom Ford arrived. Just before Tom Ford's arrival, Mike Ford and his wife came in and were introduced. And the talk was generally about where the children had been in the campaign, with a special reference to how those particular states would respond. Mike, for example, said that he'd been in Wisconsin. And places that the children had been, where Susan had been, where Mike had been, and my recollection is that Mike spoke of Wisconsin. Susan had apparently been elsewhere, in New York or wherever. And that apparently the children of the president took very great pride in their participation in the campaign and felt a very special responsibility for those particular areas coming in for the president. And that was the only, really the only item of conversation. Otherwise it was pleasantries. Everybody had a drink. No food was served at that particular point. And just sat around waiting for something to happen in the way in their returns. The president participated in the small talk and really was just interested in his children. There was nothing really special. Susan had trouble with her dogs, who insisted on getting in everybody's lap, and they're kind of big dogs that shed a bit, and she commanded them, and they obeyed very very neatly. But it was just the family members getting around the television waiting for something to happen. And that, I think, took all the preliminaries, though Cronkite was on, and he was on with his team, and we switched from Cronkite and his team, which was Kathy Mackin and Tom Brokaw, and no, Tom Brokaw was NBC. Yeah, it was like it was an NBC map. No, but we watched Cronkite for a while. We had one set at that particular time. I'm just trying to think of who's on with Cronkite, because Cronkite had a number of... Moyers, exactly right. Cronkite and Moyers were kicking the ball around. And Mike Wallace came in later. And we switched to NBC with David Brinkley and John Chancellor and Kathy Mackin and Tom Brokaw. That was the order of events. And there was really no other station listened to. Those were the two, primarily. And I had the distinct impression, and I think the president did, that practically everybody in both shows, I didn't see a sign of difference. You had the sensibility, the feeling that they were rooting for Carter. And I think the president felt that. Nobody on both shows was rooting for him. I think when it was very noticeable that for example, one of the networks, I think it was NBC, ran just before the results began to come in, Governor Carter's mother sitting next to an old-fashioned stove with an old-fashioned pipe outlet and saying some things about her not going to Atlanta, she's going to stay home. I mean, you would have run that in a film or in a commercial for Carter. I mean, you know, it was so obvious and so rather corny, as a matter of fact. So she's a very nice woman. Well, I think the president, you know, just joined in the general chit-chat that obviously, you know, this it was kind of all for Carter and very little room for him, so much so that I suggested to him that where were his people, like Mary Louise, Strauss got on the TV. Where were his people, Mary Louise Smith and Jim Baker and so on? The president said they're undoubtedly standing by and will be on due course. But it was very clear, and I think very noticeable to him, that this was pretty much a Democratic Party show. The president said, by way of comment, that that's more like a campaign commercial than news, but what's the difference at this stage of the proceedings? If it's on, really isn't of any major moment. Immediately after this little vignette, Betty Ford arrived, kissed everybody, made sure everybody had a drink, and saw that everybody sat down. By then, the Joe Gargiulo family had already been there, so that was, I mean, they were fixed in place. Gargiulo was largely in a jovial mood, told the story about how he had held up a sign in Buffalo, which had gotten a big laugh and a big cheer, which said, Italians for Betty. And even the president laughed and shared that one. I would say that the most sensitively attuned person in the room at that time was Mrs. Green. She headed Democrats for Ford, and her general feeling, and she was very good, by the way, on television for the president, the television that I was with her on, and the national show on the Monday night, which the president did. I think she kind of gave me the feeling that she had the most to lose of anybody there. in terms of, it was interesting, even, I think she was even more sensitively attuned than the president. Now, the president was obviously tired. He was what I've rarely seen him before. He was flushed, looked tired, and his voice was already beginning to give out then. He really was quite hoarse and could hardly talk, so he did not participate all that much in the conversation. I would describe the demeanor of the children as being very much the children and a father. You know, everybody goes about his business, seemingly not noticing the old man, but at the same time with a certain sense of, I felt, a certain aura of their own importance. That is, that they were conscious of the fact that this was the president's house and that they were the president's children, even though, rather elaborately, the relations were matter of fact and indeed very intimate. You know, there's no feeling that this is a family that stood on ceremony at all. There was kidding, there was banter, there was, you know, president hugged his daughter, and generally a very atmosphere of affection and lightness, but I felt underneath it all a consciousness that the children knew who they were and where they were.
Could you go into that a little more,
sir? Well, I think the informality was demonstrated by the fact that Susan kicked her shoes off, and within a short time after, immediately after her mother arrived, got a lie on her back on the carpet, and the president tossed her a couple of pillows to put under her head. Somebody, I think it was one of the members of Garagiola's family, spilled a drink, or Susan spilled the drinks with the ice and whatnot, but nobody said a word. She picked up some of the ice, and one of the domestic employees did the rest. Nobody said recognized it by so much as a word or a gesture. The president hugged his wife when she came into the room. He got up and went to her and hugged her, and she kissed everybody. That was very sweet. She sat on a chair. We were sitting in a circle at that point. She sat on a chair rather near the television and across the room from the president. President sat in what would be the northeast corner of the room, of this living room, which was quite a large room, in an easy chair, watching the television. Well, Susan was lying on the floor, in the middle of the room, right, as you would lie in front of a fireplace. But of course, this was a TV set. The president's son, Mike, sat next to me on the sofa, which was at right angles to the right of the president, at the end, the kind of the flank, you know, at right angles at the end of the room, where the room ended. And the girl sitting next to Mrs. Ford was his wife, Mike's wife. But all the other chairs were taken, essentially, by Garagiola's family and Mrs. Green and Garagiola himself. At that point, returns began to come in from the south, and the map began to fill in. The first return was that filled in red was Georgia. That apparently came in the first. Second, I would say, was Alabama. A third was Florida, and Louisiana didn't come along until late in that southern block filling in, and that was the first time the president expressed disappointment and said that I thought we had a real chance to carry that. I think that was disappointing. Also, interspersed with the results, state results, I mean, the state results were determined by the fact that the network would say, we give this state to so-and-so based on our key precincts, etc. And the president and I at that time talked about the fact that, you know, what difference did it make who they gave it to? The question is who it went to. And that yet they, the commentators on the television, treated it as if when they gave it to somebody, that was the end of it, that somebody had won it. But, of course, when the results came in later, their decisions seemed to be the correct ones, except in the very close ones. I did notice, however, that in the case of Maryland, they shifted back and forth. They just conveniently forgot that they had just given Maryland to Ford or to Carter, and just went on and reported Maryland results. I think I said that. I said, you know, sounds makes you think like they're giving the election away. And he said, that's right. He said, you know, they proceed on the theory when they give it to somebody, that somebody's got it. As I say, the southern states began to fill in red. And, of course, on the NBC map, red was Carter and blue, light blue, was the president. Joe Garagiola was, you know... Come on, he was